So we'll get started. I'll do the little intro.
That was beautiful.
I know.
When you're gone, I don't have anybody to sing my harmonies.
I know. What are you going to do?
Yeah.
So the next month is going to be brutal.
I'm just going to be singing, and I'm going to wait for it.
You're going to be harmonyless.
Nothing.
You're not going to be able to falsetto any stupid thing.
No, I'll just have to do it myself.
Yeah, gosh. All right, everyone. Welcome to the fifth episode of Podcasts for Good. We are here today to talk to you guys about yet another lighthearted subject, incarceration.
Yeah.
I am your co-host, program manager Philip Kerrigan, and this is, of course,
Heather Lucas. I'm the fiscal and policy coordinator for the Washington State of Mind Fund Drive.
That is correct.
That is correct.
So, as I said off the top, we are going to actually talk to you, yes, about incarceration, but more importantly about a program that helps hopefully rehabilitate folks who are incarcerated. That is a program called Yoga Behind Bars. We're going to talk to the development director there, Patty Vogel. She actually stopped by our office and talked to us a little bit about what exactly Yoga Behind Bars does.
Yeah.
And how they help people who are currently incarcerated across a whole bunch of spectrums.
Yeah, and not just on Western Washington in this state. They do the entire state, which is really cool.
Wide-ranging, which I thought was pretty cool.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, because I think this is a really interesting subject, because it really hits on two things. So it hits on the yoga part, like the benefits of yoga to these folks and rehabilitation in general.
Yeah.
But it also hits on incarceration in general.
Yeah.
Which I find to be one of those subjects that packages all sorts of different things. Race, socioeconomics, crime, rehabilitation, what society views is like happens to a person. I mean, there's so many different layers to incarceration. It would take like six podcasts to unravel.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, we're just doing a tiny, tiny, tiny portion.
Right.
Because there's no way. Like, there's absolutely no way that you could cover all of that, and we'd have to dedicate the season to it, I think.
Right. A full incarceration season.
Because, yeah, I mean, you have what happens to a person as they're entering the system, and then what happens to a person as they leave.
That's really interesting. Yeah. So can you give some stats about people behind bars, essentially, in Washington State?
Yeah. So according to the Department of Corrections for Washington State, there are about 19,250 people that are incarcerated.
Okay.
So there are 12 prisons in Washington State, almost 20,000 people in these prisons. For the most part, the people who are in prison are male. 92% are male.
Wow.
8% are women. So there's clearly like a very, very
so
defined,
sharp.
Yeah. So mostly male. And then, in Washington State, they're also mostly white. So 71% of incarcerated individuals are white. The next closest is black individuals, who are 18.5% of prison population.
Wow, that's interesting.
And then Hispanic are 13.3% of the prison population.
That's very interesting.
It kind of does mirror what our state's population is.
Oh, our actual demographics?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. So we have like about 7.2 million people in Washington, and 81% of our state's demographics are white. So 71% in prison are white, and then 81%.
So it kind of definitely plays along demographic lines.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So there are a number of people who are serving two specific prison lengths right now. So about half of the population in prison is serving either 2 to 5 years or over 10 years. So over 10 years could be like 25 years, but you're still going to get out, but it's not like life without parole or release.
Okay.
But 24% of the prison population serves between 2 and 5 years, and then 24.4% serves over 10.
So you are coming out. Most of these folks are coming out of prison. Yeah. They are eventually going to get out of prison.
Eventually going to get out,
so the question becomes, what do you do after that?
Yeah, and the Department of Corrections says that the average length of stay for offenders released in the past year was 23.7 months. So about 2 years. And that the number one offense for people in confinement, like why they're there, assault.
Oh, wow.
So 25.7% of offenders committed assault. So I looked up, what is assault?
What's the definition of assault? Yeah. Where did you get this information?
From your mom.
All right.
That's not true. I didn't. I got...
My mom's an intelligent woman. She might have been able to give you the definition.
I bet she
of assault.
Would, actually, yeah. So I went very statistical. I went with the RCW's revised code of Washington.
So not my mother.
Not actually your mother.
Yeah, a little bit more legally binding than my mother's opinion.
Yeah. Thank you, Mrs. Kerrigan.
Yes. Thank you, Mrs. Kerrigan.
Yeah. So RCWs have definitions of what assault laws are. Right. So there are certain types of assault. Like there's a number, like assault in the first degree, second, third, fourth.
Sure.
There's custodial assault. And then there's assault of a child in the first, second, and third degree. So assault of a child is...
It's pretty high, I would assume. You get some good solid amounts of years on that one.
Yeah, I would hope.
Yeah.
You know. So assault in the first degree, it's when a person's found guilty is because they have intent to inflict great bodily harm and they assault another with a firearm or a deadly weapon.
Okay.
Or by any force or means likely to produce great bodily harm or death.
Got it. Okay. So, you know, really big beating.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
And, you know, threatening you with weapons.
Yes.
So another assault in the first degree administers, exposes, or transmits to or causes to be taken by another poison, the human immunodeficiency virus, or any other destructive or noxious substance. So if you infect someone with HIV, that's assault in the first degree.
Purposefully.
Yeah.
Wow. So, I didn't know that they actually covered that in law.
I was really surprised to see that. Yeah. I was like, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty insane.
So if you basically purposefully do something like that, you could be charged with assault.
Yeah, or
if
you say to somebody, take this heroin, I'm forcing you to do it, that's assault in the first degree as well. And then if you assault and inflict great bodily harm.
Sure.
Between the first degree and second degree, there's, I don't know what the definition of great bodily harm and substantial bodily harm, but great is first degree, substantial is second degree.
Sure.
So.
If it's, I beat you substantially.
But not greatly.
Not greatly.
So lower that.
Lower your expectations.
Exactly.
Wow.
So assault in the second degree is substantial harm. And then also if you are intentionally or unlawfully causing substantially bodily harm to an unborn child or the mother of such a child.
Okay.
So a pregnant woman or if there's harm to the baby she's carrying.
Yeah.
Assaulting with a deadly weapon. And again, with the poison or in having somebody, forcing someone to take a destructive or noxious substance.
Wow.
And then knowingly inflicting bodily harm by design, causing pain or agony as to be the equivalent of that produced by torture.
Ooh.
So that's assault in the second degree. Assault in the third degree is a lot lower, but I did think it was interesting that if you are, you can be found guilty of assault in the third degree if you assault a person who is employed as a transit operator or driver, or someone in that position, or their supervisor, or as well as a school bus driver, a firefighter, a law enforcement officer, a peace officer, a nurse, physician, or healthcare provider.
Yeah, I have heard that because the idea is that it's this person's job, and so they're sort of the front line to what might be happening. So if it's a tough job to do for some of these folks, so that's why you can get that.
Yeah,
that's interesting.
Yeah. So even if your school bus driver was a jerk, just don't hit them.
Right. Just don't do that.
Yeah.
Overall.
So for the most part, people are incarcerated for assaults.
Okay.
And I would say that yoga is probably a good idea for a lot of people if they're reacting to other humans by inflicting pain and injury.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So, full disclosure on this particular subject with regards to incarceration and offenders. So,
did you just get released?
No, that is not my disclosure.
Oh.
You've been working with me for almost 10 years.
That's not true.
I have family who are or were in law enforcement, and in particular in corrections, and I would consider myself probably by nature a second chance guy. I'm definitely the type of person who believes that we're just not going to get anywhere as a society if once we lock folks up or you know, punish folks who did bad things,
yeah,
just make the assumption that they are, that we cannot ever get them back.
Yeah, just throw them right. away.
Yeah. Yeah, and so I just think that with the sheer numbers we have of folks who become incarcerated in this country,
mm-hmm.
to suggest that all of those people will have no opportunity, really, no tangible, real opportunity to ever kind of integrate back in society, is, I don't think it benefits anybody.
No, no, definitely you know? Not. Because when somebody goes to prison, you're not just punishing that person for a crime that they committed. Like,
yeah.
there are the people who they committed the crime against,
mm-hmm.
their family.
Yeah.
There's the family of the incarcerated individual.
Yeah.
It just trickles down to all these different people.
Absolutely.
Like, one life affects so many others.
Right, right. So we have a bunch of different organizations. If there are people like myself who understand why somebody would end up becoming incarcerated, I mean, it happens, right?
Those, yeah.
You know, if somebody does something that's a mistake in judgment or something that's bad, you know, I mean, you should be held accountable to those things. But for those folks who believe that people who are incarcerated have the same rights at rehabilitation that anybody else does,
yeah.
we have a ton of different charities that help with that. So Fair Start is an organization that makes about $10,000 a year through the CFD. Those are the folks in King County who try to integrate offenders back into society by offering them training in the culinary arts.
Yeah.
Interaction Transition is one. They receive about $200 a year from the CFD. One of my personal kind of favorite ones is the Prison Pet Partnership Program.
That's a lot of P's right there.
A lot of P's. Clever alliteration. they receive about $7,700
nice.
Through the CFD, and they're exactly what it sounds like. They are connecting offenders with pets to help them be service dogs, much like Summit Assistance Dogs does.
Yeah.
And they receive about $11,000 through the CFD every single year. And then there are the folks we're going to talk to.
Yeah.
Which is Yoga Behind Bars. They receive about, right now, $1,900 a year
mm-hmm.
From the CFD. And the main thing it seems like Yoga Behind Bars does is basically exactly what it sounds like. They put on yoga classes and connect with offenders through the physical act of yoga.
Yeah, actually, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, there are a number of programs that the DOC says that they have available. So Yoga Behind Bars is one of those, and then those other organizations that help people either while they're still incarcerated or afterwards. But like, they do things too, because like I said, one person who gets incarcerated, like, they affect everybody. So like, if somebody has kids, they have yeah. Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts that get to come to prison.
Oh.
So they call it Boy Scouts Behind Bars, Girl Scouts Behind Bars.
Wow.
Yeah, so Girl Scouts Behind Bars, they have arts and crafts and learning life skills, whereas Boy Scouts Behind Bars play basketball and volleyball.
Uh-huh.
I think the Girl Scouts should play basketball and volleyball, too.
Just saying. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. You got to get some of that sport
yeah.
time in there. But they have all kinds of programs for people who are religious. They have
okay.
a ton of different denominations
yeah. oh,
of
yeah.
all kinds of
absolutely.
Religions, so people can still decide, like, hey, whether or not they're religious before mm-hmm. they go into
right.
prison,
right.
they can participate, or
yes.
they can like reconnect with whatever
right.
they feel that
uh-huh.
they are like.
Yeah, they're faith-based organizations.
Exactly.
Yes.
So then they have other things like Alcoholics Anonymous,
mm-hmm.
like you had mentioned, Summit Assistance Dogs. So
yep.
they have both cat programs and dog programs
yeah.
in prisons. The IF Project is one of those
right,
organizations.
Right, the DOC golf tournament just put on.
Exactly. So mm-hmm. they're also in the prison system, and then yeah. other things like Celebrate Recovery,
yeah.
Freedom Project, Narcotics Anonymous, and Toastmasters International.
Toastmasters?
Yeah.
Wow, look at that.
Yeah.
I like
so
that.
You
public
get to
speaking.
Do public speaking. You get
get
to kind of do
here.
Some of that leadership business.
Yeah,
yeah.
That's cool. That's cool.
So people get to do what they really need to
that's
do.
That's awesome.
And connect
yeah.
and, like, hey, if you're not able to live your life outside of prison, this mm-hmm. is how you can start inside.
Cool.
Yeah.
Let's give you some stats on yoga.
All right, yoga stats. Go.
Yoga stats.
Go.
So 36 million people currently say they do yoga.
Okay.
Which is up from 20 million in 2012. So obviously it's something
wow.
that I think people have been seeing more lately.
So the last 5 years.
The last 5 years, more than 16 million people have taken up yoga of some kind.
Okay.
This stat is crazy to me. Students spend $16 billion a year on classes, gear, and equipment.
That's yoga, pretty crazy, yeah.
Which is ironic, given the fact that when we talk to Patty,
yeah,
she says something like, all you really need is, like, your body.
Yeah.
And yet people are spending, like, $16 billion a year on equipment. What equipment?
Yeah, well, are you saying that we should get into the yoga industry?
I think we may need to get into some CFD yoga business.
We'll just, like, buy some bricks, market at CFD.
Market CFD? Yeah. Man, I think there's obviously some sort of industry out there.
Yeah, billion with a B.
Frickin' A.
Yeah.
86% of the people who take it report a strong sense of clarity, quote unquote. Top five reasons to do yoga?
Yeah.
Flexibility, stress relief, general fitness, overall health, and physical fitness. I'm not quite sure what the difference between general fitness and physical fitness is, but apparently those are two. 72% of the people who say they do yoga are women.
Uh-huh.
28% are men. That seems right about right, I would say.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that there's still stigma surrounding, like, men doing yoga.
Sure.
Which is unfortunate.
Well, like, I've gone to yoga classes, and, you know, you look around the room, and for the most part, women. Yeah. I'd say probably in any class that I've been in, if there's like 15 people, maybe two or three are men.
Yeah.
At the most.
Yeah, exactly right.
Yeah.
Exactly right. So hit me with your question of the week.
Question of the week. Question of the podcast.
Yeah, we'll have to get some music on this one, and then we'll have a sponsor.
I think that I should have an explosion.
Yeah.
Noise at some point.
Question of the week. Sponsored by no one.
In a world
where
there are questions.
right.
Okay.
So hit me with the question.
So we did a promo video.
Yes, we did. You will be able to see that online.
We did.
And it's awesome.
The CFD doing yoga.
And we're bad.
Yeah.
We're real bad.
No big deal.
Yeah. We're terrible at it.
It's cool.
But, I mean, it was kind of meant to be more comical anyway. Yeah. So, I mean, we're obviously clearly exaggerating how awful we are, but we're all really bad.
We could follow instructions pretty well, I'm sure.
Yeah, I'm sure we could.
If we were...
So we hammed it up a lot.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah.
So, if you, Philip Kerrigan, woke up tomorrow and you were really great at something athletic,
yes,
what do you wish it was?
Okay, so I was thinking about this.
Okay.
And so my first answer is definitely basketball.
I figured it would be.
I mean, I'm obsessed with basketball.
Hey, tall guy.
Yeah. So my first inclination would always be basketball.
So you'd be like Jordan level?
I would, if I'm going to be, I would be like trying to be Jordan. I'm sorry, Michael. Please don't call me or text me.
What?
I'm not.
Michael Jordan's like,
I'm not interested.
What the hell?
Yeah. I'm not interested in playing you, Michael.
No.
So just let's put that to bed right now.
I don't know.
I won't be playing Michael Jordan.
You might have an okay chance. I mean, he is in his 50s.
Oh,
now.
In his 50s, he, instead of beating me 100-2, he would beat me 75-2.
Yeah. So you have a better shot. I'm sure.
Sure. Well, I'm saying, Michael, if you're out there, just let's just be cordial, you and me. Let's just keep our rivalry
nice,
like a nice.
Get
rivalry.
Charles Barkley up and they're throwing some elbows in your face.
Yeah. So I probably right now say it would be basketball, but one sport that I really wish I was better at is golf.
Okay.
Right? So everybody wishes they were better at golf who plays golf.
Yeah.
Most people lie about how good they are at golf.
Oh, well, that's part of it, right? It's like fishing.
Yes.
You lie about it.
You just lie about everything. But but I'm garbage at golf.
Yeah.
And I really wish that I could actually play it. Like, even remotely good.
Yeah.
To where, like, I could make the shots in the requisite amount that they say.
Yeah.
Like, if they say something's like a par 4, that means that you're supposed to hit it in 4 shots.
Sure.
Right? I would like to hit, like, just hit it in, like, the suggested amount of shots.
Okay, instead of, like, double the amount.
Yeah. Instead of, like, because, you know, they have, like, terms for the things that you go over. So if you're one shot over the par, then you're, like, a bogey. And then it's a double bogey and triple bogey. And then they just say, like,
you should go home.
You cupped in.
Oh.
Right? I'm usually the cup in guy.
Yeah.
Right? Everybody's already done, and I'm, like, putting around the green, like, 4 or 5 times. And they're all like,
Do you ever just get tired, pick up the ball, and just put it in the hole, and be like, I'm done.
Absolutely.
And I'm in.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. There have been numerous times I've done that. Where I, like, pick up the ball, and I'm like, you know what, guys? You guys just go ahead. I'm just going to walk. I'm just going to clear my head.
I'm going to find the beer cart.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, that's seems to be probably part of my issue as well.
Yeah?
Yeah. What about you?
Okay, so I did think about it where I was like, you know, yeah, sure, like running, throwing, catching, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. Like, okay, whatever, who cares?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
I'm really terrible at tiny objects and tiny surfaces. So golf, okay. I'm bad at.
Yeah.
Because it's a tiny ball with a tiny surface.
Right.
I am...
You would not consider yourself a finesse ball player?
No. Yeah. No, I'm like the Hulk... I'm the bull in the china shop. I'm just
Yeah.
So I'm terrible at golf. I'm terrible at pool. I'm terrible at the paddle ball. What is that?
I think it's like pickleball, isn't it? Or no, ping pong.
Ping pong. I was going to say Pokemon for some reason.
Pokemon.
I don't know why.
Okay.
Ping pong, Pokemon, ping pong. Right?
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm terrible at stuff like that. But then I thought about it. I was like, really, do I care to be good at that?
Right.
No, not really.
Okay.
Parkour.
You want to be good at parkour?
Right? Could you imagine how fun it would be just to be like, so...
To be able to jump from building to building like a Bond, like one of those crazy...
Like a Bond villain?
Henchmen.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So it would be incredible just to be like, okay, so meeting's done, and then just like jump off the table and roll out the door.
I mean, it would be... It would make for cool CFD videos.
It would make for cool anything.
Well, I mean, it'd make for cool YouTube anything.
Oh, yeah. Like if I go to a bar, order a drink at the bar, and then go back to my table, but like bounce off of a bunch of stuff... And not spill my drink at all?
Sure. Yeah. Wow. Actually, yeah, that would be pretty spectacular.
Yeah.
That would be very useful.
I know.
I feel like.
I think it would be.
Yeah.
And I can escape situations easily.
Right. I mean, how many life and death situations are you in on a daily basis? A dozen?
Yes. So
parkour could totally get you out of this.
Yeah, I would clearly need to escape.
Yeah. Understood.
Yeah, and if you could also. Like, I just think goats are amazing at how they can parkour.
Wait, what?
Just go with it for a second.
Okay.
Goats are amazing at how they can parkour off of each other and objects. That looks so much fun.
What? I don't even know that I've seen it.
Have you
it.
Not seen
no,
goats?
No,
like little
I've never
baby
seen goats.
Goats
parkour.
Dude, they do. Okay. I have a cat who parkours.
Okay.
Yeah.
So cat level parkouring.
Yeah.
Well, like, actually, you'd want hardcore parkour.
Yeah, I would say so. I mean, go big or go home, right?
Right. I mean, I feel like that's right.
Yeah.
I mean, why not go the whole way with it?
Yeah, yeah. I should be able to jump off of all of the surfaces of all of the things.
Sure, absolutely.
And if I need to jump off of someone's face, I should be able to do that.
Yet another spectacular answer by Heather Lucas for the question of the day.
I want to jump off of someone's face.
There you go. So with that, we're going to segue directly
Woo!
Into Patty Vogel. To talk about yoga behind bars and some of the cool stuff that this organization is doing for folks who are incarcerated. So without any further delay, here's Patty talking about the organization. All right, so here we go. We're sitting down with Patty Vogel, the Development Director for Yoga Behind Bars. Patty, thank you for being on our fifth podcast.
Thanks so much for having me. Excited to be here today.
Yeah, you were given high recommendations by someone in our office named Lori Larson. I don't know if you know who that is.
I do.
Yeah.
So I didn't know that.
Yeah,
yeah, she was just like,
shout out to Lori.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank
yeah.
you, Lori.
Yeah. She told us we have to talk to you
yeah.
behind bars.
Excellent. Excellent.
So, yeah. So, and the other thing we did was we practiced yoga with Lori beforehand, and it did not go well for us.
Yeah.
We may need a little bit more practice.
All right.
We definitely do. We do.
I'm sure it went better than you think.
Well, yeah. I mean, there were moments where it was like, okay, we can all kind of focus and, you know, listen to instruction. But then we are slightly ridiculous, too. So.
Well, I think that's part of it, though, right?
Yeah.
Having fun with it.
Yeah. Having
yeah,
fun
just with trying.
Yeah,
exactly.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So can you give us a little history about Yoga Behind Bars?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's perfect that we're here today because Yoga Behind Bars is about to turn 10. We're
nice.
About to have our 10th anniversary actually in 2018. So Yoga Behind Bars started almost 10 years ago with one teacher in Seattle's downtown jail. It was kind of a lucky situation, if you will, that there was already a yoga program in place there. And one of the teachers was leaving in the downtown jail, and our founder actually took over that class. And from there, the work really grew, because what she discovered was that there was really a need for lots of reasons, and we can talk about those, but for folks to have access to rehabilitative tools. And from there, the organization really took off and was volunteer-led for a few years until a funder came along, luckily, and kind of fueled this extraordinary journey for YBB to have a paid staff. And so now here we are 10 years later, and we are in 17 facilities statewide.
Wow, that's cool.
And yeah, it's pretty cool. And we are working with men and women and children.
Oh, nice. Oh, cool.
So we're in prisons, and we're in jails, and we're in detention centers throughout the state. So sort of all the way over from the peninsula up in Clallam Bay, all the way over to eastern Washington, and then further south down into Gig Harbor, Tacoma.
That's nice. That's nice you guys serve the entire state.
Yes. Yeah. There are 18,000 prisoners in our state, and we're serving about 4,500 to 5,000 a year.
Wow.
Wow. That's a pretty unbelievable ratio.
Yeah.
That's
all
pretty great.
Yeah. It's been the work really over the last couple of years has really been about expansion, and now we're at this place where it's about depth within each facility. So working with not only general population, but folks in solitary confinement, mental health units.
Yeah.
We do a specialized class for veterans. We do college for courses for college credit with partner organizations.
Yeah.
So it's about going deeper within those facilities so that not only are we reaching more people, but reaching those specific populations as well.
Nice.
That's awesome.
So what would you say that your organization does for the community? Clearly you've got people that you're serving that are incarcerated and they're kind of excluded right now from the community at large. But what would you say that Yoga Behind Bars does for the community?
That's a really good question. So, I mean, you mentioned great services and kind of reiterated what I was talking about for serving individuals who are behind bars. But I think what a lot of people don't realize is that 97% of our folks who are incarcerated are coming out into the community eventually. And they need the tools. If we give them the tools, they will use them. They need the tools to be able to, let's pause for a second here, think about yourself, right? Think about yourself in the world. And if you're constantly stressed or constantly shut down or agitated, how are you going to be in the world?
Yeah.
How are you going to study? How are you going to parent? How are you going to hold down a job? And so our impact really travels into the community when once folks are released. But the other piece of this is that we're training people who are on the outside, who are our teachers. We have 102 volunteers right now. Remember I said we started with one, and now we're at 102. So training these folks not only to teach incarcerated people, but they're bringing this work, this specialized training. That's our work is really about trauma-sensitive yoga.
Sure.
And so once you train all of these amazing people, and I think there's something like 400 people now have been YBB trained, they're able to take that work into the community.
Yeah.
So it's not just for incarcerated people, but it might be homeless shelters or youth are on the streets or any number of health facilities, and people are taking that work back to their own communities.
Nice.
That's excellent.
To to impact all of us, really.
Yeah.
So you know, I mean, folks who become incarcerated are facing a range of issues, both before they get in and before they get into the system, and then when they're in the system. Can you talk a little bit about some of maybe some different sort of things you've seen that these individuals have faced before you guys even have a chance? I mean, what are they facing in these facilities that eventually brings them to you guys?
Well, I would say that's a really good question. I'm glad you asked that, because I think that, you know, there's this kind of, or there can be a perception of, you know, you're behind bars, you're bad, you deserve this, right? And I think that's part of our work also, is to really provide context around this, because for many people who are incarcerated, they have either been homeless or I see so much addiction. I mean, there's just, right. there's so much addiction. I would say that even within the facility where I teach, probably 75% of the women have had some sort of addiction issue. Homelessness, folks that are homeless end up incarcerated. Poor people, people of color. These are all folks who have really been really hurt by the system. So the system at large has failed them before they even made it to a prison or jail, if you will. So there's really all these systemic issues, right? YBB is part of the solution to address this, but obviously there are so many other issues that individuals are facing before they find themselves behind bars. And, you know, what we see behind bars is, you know, people share. They share their stories in some cases, not always, but we've been sort of collecting and gathering this information for all these years, and we're able to see sort of certain patterns and challenges that individuals have faced that have brought them there. Did that answer your question?
Yeah. Is there a minimum sort of criteria that a person has that an offender has to meet in order to be a part of Yoga Behind Bars?
The answer is yes, and each facility is different, right? Yeah. So, in most cases, folks have to be on good behavior, and they have to attend regularly. And if they miss class more than a couple of times, then they're rotated off. But the idea, and I will tell you that our waiting lists are huge, huge, which wasn't the case when we first started, right? Word of mouth travels, and then other folks within the facility, and we hear this. I want to share a little bit about our training program behind bars that inmates are actually doing. They start to see the shifts in their own community within the prison system and say, huh, maybe I want a little some of that. Because people are calmer. We hear from officers that violence goes down. That makes their lives easier because they're not faced with, you know, they're working incredibly stressful jobs behind bars. So that's another piece of the work we're trying to do, is to actually reach some of the prison staff because we know that they have really challenging jobs and they need yoga too. So we're kind of scratching the surface there with one facility just to test that out.
Excellent.
So are you guys working solely in prisons, or do you go to smaller like jail facilities as well? Because I believe you said juvenile detention?
Yes. And, you know, I wanted to touch on the juvenile detention system because, again, within that, there are some 30-some, or maybe that's even a little bit low, lots and lots of juvenile detention centers versus we have 12 state prisons in Washington.
Right.
So the juvenile centers are a little bit different. For one facility that we work with, for example, the yoga program is actually part of their curriculum.
Oh.
So they have a choice for their PE credit to take yoga or some other kind of PE. And so that's integrated actually into their curriculum.
Yeah.
Nice.
So with those kids, it's required.
Yeah.
But they do have a choice to choose our program. And so that's been amazing just to see what happens there. And then for other kids, it's not mandatory, but again, there's an option for them to take those classes.
Yeah, yeah. You know, you often hear in sort of the research we were doing leading up to talking with you, like people who are surveyed talk about the different things they get out of yoga, right? I would imagine that it certainly helps you focus, helps you, you know, sort of achieve mental clarity.
Mm-hmm.
Why is yoga good for people and just in general? And then why is yoga good for these offenders who seem to need it as much as they do?
I think they're similar reasons, right?
Yeah.
They're very similar reasons because again, it's number one, yoga can be incredibly powerful in terms of centering oneself, right? The mental clarity that we're talking about. But what we know about yoga and the science of yoga and mindfulness and meditation and that it can reduce violence, that it can reduce depression, that it can help people cope It can help with it. It does help with anxiety. Not can, it does help with anxiety. So if I'm in a situation, and this is going back to your question for folks on the inside, mm-hmm. I think this is relevant for all of us, but if I pause, if I have a reaction, right, I have a flight or fight syndrome where somebody is coming at me mm-hmm. or something's happening in the world, and I pause, what happens? I have the moment now to make a choice, maybe a different choice, rather than reacting.
Yeah.
And that's incredibly powerful right. when you're in a confined space.
Right.
To your point of, or your question of asking why it's important for people behind bars, because they're a forgotten population, typically.
Yeah.
And to have someone come inside, a volunteer who cares, and to look at you mm-hmm. and say, I see you, mm-hmm. you matter.
Yeah.
Yes.
That is that creates a shift in a person's desire mm-hmm. to make different choices, to care for themselves, right. to maybe see themselves for the first time in their life as valuable.
Yes.
And we can't move forward as human beings if we don't have our own self-esteem sure. and our own beliefs in ourselves to do better, to make better choices,
yeah.
again, to be a better parent, or to have the desire to take a class. It doesn't matter how much education in the world I have if I can't retain it.
Yeah.
You're more apt to make like rational, pragmatic, beneficial decisions if you know that your decisions are going to impact other people.
Mm-hmm.
I think sometimes
mm-hmm.
people, especially in prisons, tend to be taught to forget that, mm-hmm. that they don't have an impact at all.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you're way more acutely mm-hmm. aware of your mm-hmm. impact on of like your decisions if you know that it's going to impact people.
Yeah.
And then the idea that like this gives them a chance to take a second and cope using a different mechanism besides instant angry reaction, I think is really cool too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, and also yoga has the power to unlock, right? To unlock things that are stuck in our bodies, whether that's energy, whether that's negativity, whether that's stress.
Yeah.
And we walk around the world in a different place if that's not stored in our bodies.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
yeah.
totally true.
And the other piece of it is that with yoga and meditation is all you need is your body. There is no other equipment. You know, ideally, yes, you have a mat and maybe a block.
Sure.
Right? But you don't need that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can breathe any time
yeah.
on your
yeah.
own.
Yeah.
You can
yeah.
consciously breathe.
Yeah.
I had a woman in my class recently tell me, because they do these kind of lockdowns when the numbers are off or they mm-hmm. can't count people. And she said, I went into class and she said, I'm really tired today. I don't know if I could do this. And I said, well, why are you tired? And she told me about the lockdown. And she said, I couldn't use the bathroom. It was really early in the morning, and this may sound like something really simple, but being locked in your cell when you can't use the bathroom can be a stressful situation,
yeah,
I would imagine.
Yeah.
And she said, I don't know how long I was doing it, but I practiced my breathing for I don't know how long, and I fell back asleep.
Wow.
Oh, nice.
And I never do that. Mm-hmm. And so just something that seems really, really simple to be in that kind of stressful situation that
yeah.
is huge magnitude for
mm-hmm.
someone in that situation
right.
Could have had a different reaction
yeah.
if you weren't practicing or breathing.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
So.
Totally. Totally.
If you're a donor who qualifies for retirement, we have a change in policy that may affect you. Starting on October 1st, 2017, the CFD is adopting a new policy that automatically continues any recurring payroll contributions current state employees may have into their retirement. Retiring donors will be able to cancel, add, or modify any donations before their separation date or any time during their retirement through the CFD online system or even by contacting the state CFD office and making a request with one of our staff members. If you have any questions about this new policy, we urge you to please contact the state CFD office at 360-902-4162 or email us anytime at cfd@sos.wa.gov. Again, this change is for donors who are qualifying for retirement. We really appreciate your patience in this matter, and hopefully you'll continue giving to us. Thanks a lot.
So for someone who doesn't do yoga or doesn't participate, never done, like yoga, it looks like stretching
mm-hmm.
for a lot of people. So when you guys have classes, do you have portions where you're like, clearly this is the active movement part and you're breathing, but do you have meditation portions where it's like, okay, now we're going to focus and we're going to just mm-hmm. stop and do this?
Yeah, I think it's a really excellent question, Heather, because our program is, there's a lot of yoga out in the world.
Sure. Right?
All kinds of yoga. Goat yoga, hot yoga.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah,
yeah. You know. Yeah, goat yoga is kind all of a craze
kinds
right
of,
now.
All
yeah.
kinds of things. Our work is really, it's trauma-sensitive yoga,
uh-huh.
Which incorporates all of the things that you're mentioning, breath work, meditation, and movement.
Uh-huh.
And it's not like we're entering a situation. All of us have trauma
yeah.
in one way or another, right? It's, we can right. assume that being in prison is especially traumatic.
Yeah.
But to walk into a classroom, and our work is really about orienting people so that they feel safe, that they feel grounded in their body, that they are connected to their body.
Yeah.
And that is done by orientation within the room.
Mm-hmm.
And that is by, again, making folks feel safe and know that they're included, all people included.
Yeah.
And then we start with the breath work and yeah. meditation and a warm-up. A really long time on the mat, warming up, seated, so people can feel really grounded. And then we incorporate those breath tools and,
yeah.
and some techniques to get people warmed up. And then we may start some more rigorous movement, if you will.
Sure,
but
sure.
Our approach is really slow and steady wins the race.
Nice.
Right?
Nice. Yeah.
To really be, again, grounded, because you can work really hard in your body without even moving.
Yeah.
Really. I mean,
yeah.
by a standstill posture, you can really actually engage your muscles and really get everything moving on the inside. And then, of course, people work really hard and we hold them in poses, and then we start to see some of that transformation happening, but they're doing their breath work at the same time.
Yeah.
That creates also an environment that is incredibly powerful when someone realizes, I can do this.
Yeah.
I can do this. I had a class last weekend where I had 9 students and 7 of them had pretty serious injuries.
Yeah.
Including people who couldn't bend their knees because they were wrapped. And so we had those women working in chairs. And
mm-hmm.
I could see them just light up because using the tools that we gave them
yeah.
were just, they felt like, I can do this.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not always, again, going back to that idea of around self-esteem, it's not always a feeling they have.
Right.
Yeah.
To shift
yeah.
that idea of, I can do this, is a big shift for a person.
Yeah, and I'm sure when you get that, I can do this mm-hmm. feeling, then it makes it easier for you to do other things.
Yes. Yeah. It's also about building trust, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That we're there week after week, holiday after holiday.
Yeah.
We show up.
Yeah.
Our volunteers show up.
Yeah.
And the students know that. They can depend on this.
Right
yeah,
on.
That's awesome.
So what kind of changes do you see in a person before and then after they work with Yoga Behind Bars?
Mm-hmm. Well, I wanted to mention, we started almost 2 years ago
mm-hmm.
a teacher training program mm-hmm. for inmates behind bars. We started with the men's population because, one, we thought when these guys get out, or some of them who will get out, how cool will it be to have more male yoga teachers in the
yeah,
community?
Yeah.
There's that.
Yeah.
This program really did start so that we could reach more people
yeah.
and that students would actually have, if we had trained yoga teachers on the inside, that they would actually be able to train each other. And there's all sorts of good reasons why that should happen. And
yeah.
also, it's an access piece for us, too, because they're in spaces that we can't go as outsiders.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. So. Going back to your question about what kind of change we see, well, we see people who are stronger and calmer and more centered and all those things I talked about. But we also really see leaders developing and evolving
nice.
In that system.
Yeah.
And I remember talking to a student who went through our program. 10 men graduated from that program.
Uh-huh.
5 women just graduated in April. Yeah, and they're mentoring now. But one of the things that really stayed with me that one of the men said was, it was a video of their graduation, and you looked around, the men who were in that program were from all different ages,
uh-huh.
all different crimes, all different races,
uh-huh.
all different units, in fact, different prisons. They
yeah.
came from 5 prisons to actually train in this one prison. And he looked at the other gentleman and said, this would not be happening. We
yeah.
would not be talking to each other, because we would be really separated by all the differences
yeah.
that... our previous lives have brought us, or worlds, meaning,
yeah.
you know, ages, races, crimes. Mm-hmm. They would not be mingling if it weren't for this program. And here they are, pretty tight friends now after having gone through what you go through when you do a teacher training program.
Nice.
To actually see that in a prison system is incredible to know that YBB was a part of that.
That's cool. That's really cool.
Yeah, that is cool. Yeah,
that's awesome.
And they did the work, really, right? We were the facilitators. But these are the people who want these tools.
Right.
They're the ones doing the work.
Yeah.
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 To make change.
Yeah.
So you have people who you're training as yoga instructors now, and like they're being released back into the society to probably continue that work, yeah?
Some. Mm-hmm. So for the men that we trained, many of them were serving or are serving life sentences, so they're never getting out.
Sure.
They will have the power to influence generations of younger men, mm-hmm. hopefully to keep them from returning to the system, right. because that's a whole other piece of mass incarceration.
Yeah.
The women, a few of them will be releasing. One is early, I think, is next year.
Yeah.
And some of the men will be getting out as well. So they haven't come out yet from the training program, but that's the idea also, mm-hmm. right? That they come out, they have a skill, mm-hmm. they have a place, a community of people, which mm-hmm. is Yoga Behind Bars and the yoga community, and they have a job potentially.
Yeah.
Because that's one of the things that we will be working on when our folks get released is to we're not a reentry organization, but certainly want to shepherd people to yoga studios and to find places of employment so that folks can continue their practice and and have those skills to work with. I can say from my own experience, I've been teaching now for 3 years at the women's prison, mm-hmm. and I have witnessed people from their first class to folks who have been practicing there for as long as we've been there, mm-hmm. 8 years in that particular facility, to them sharing their stories from things as simple as, I sleep better, I'm no longer on medication,
nice. Wow.
My daughter's now doing yoga, I'm going to practice yoga with my family, I'm now able to sign up for a college education course because of this program. So I think success mm-hmm. comes in a lot of different forms.
Right.
There's a gentleman that our program director has been teaching for a number of years, and he's a really interesting story. He's a gentleman who has started writing to us over the last year or so and sharing what his personal evolution has been. This is a guy with, lots of muscles and super strong, lots of tattoos, and kind of looks like he'd be this rougher guy and super teddy bear.
Yeah.
And he shared what his crime was and how yoga has helped him. He never ever imagined that he would ever be able to care or love for himself. He said, I'm originally, before yoga, I'm this horrible person.
Yeah.
And actually being able to forgive oneself, he's like, now I'm detaching myself from gangs. Now I see a vision for my life for the first time.
Nice.
I actually feel like a human being for the first time in my life. And how do you measure that, right? How do you quantify that?
Yeah.
But this is the person who is going to be released to the community and could have made different choices or would make different choices if he hadn't gone through this program. But now is really interested in, what his job is going to be.
Yeah.
So just opening up new possibilities, going back to that statement I made that was really simple, like, I can do this.
Yeah.
Really, I can do this in life now because of the Yoga Behind Bars program.
Well, especially for that particular man, I'm sure going from, like, I don't have value to being, I'm a human being, and now I'm out here living my life.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that must be really powerful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what do donations do for your organization? When someone from the CFD mm-hmm. donates through their paycheck to you guys, how does that help?
Oh, wow. In so many ways. I think it's important for people to know that Yoga Behind Bars does not receive any state or federal funding. So the bulk of our funding comes from individuals, more than 70%.
Wow.
We have some small grants, but it's really people just like you and me.
Yeah,
I kid you not. It's about this grassroots movement of rolling up our sleeves and pitching in what we can. So not only does the donations help our programs and our expansion and the depth that I was talking about, we've maintained that we're still the same staff of five people, uh-huh. but expanding with these donations not only sustain the programs here in Washington, but we're about to launch an online teacher training platform.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
And again, the mission is about spreading the work. So we have this great impact here in Washington, but what about folks in other states? We really want Washington and our programs to be the national model.
Right on.
Yeah.
So that we can actually package our curriculum and share it with the world.
Yeah.
So that if you're somewhere in Indiana and you don't have access to these tools, you can now, or eventually, you can actually go onto our online platform.
Wow.
And get the tools that you need to do a program in your own community. So specifically right now, any gifts that come our way, that's what we're doing. We're sharing this work with the world.
Sure.
Awesome.
Yeah. Do you have anything that you wanted to share, like as far as upcoming events or programs that Yoga Behind Bars does?
Yeah, actually, there's a campaign that we just launched related to, this is really cool, the media company Now This. If they're based in New York, mm-hmm. they just did a feature on Yoga Behind Bars.
Oh, that's cool.
I'd love to share it with you all.
Absolutely.
It came out a couple of weeks ago, but what's really great about it is, well, A, it's media attention. Who doesn't love that, right?
Yeah.
But it's an opportunity for folks to really see our program, because we can't often share that with people for obvious reasons. But there's an opportunity for people to see one of the classes in session and to meet the students, if you will.
Yeah.
And I'd love to share that with you. But we launched a campaign connected with this to raise funds for the platform, the online platform that I was just mentioning.
Yeah.
So that's a really exciting little bit of news that came out for Yoga Behind Bars
really
recently.
Cool.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Great. Well, awesome. So, Patty, thank you very much for coming on the podcast and talking a little bit about Yoga Behind Bars and a little bit about what your program does for the community.
Thanks so much for having me. It was really nice to meet you both.
Yeah, it was nice to meet you. Thanks a lot. So that was Patty Vogel, Development Director for Yoga Behind Bars. I have to tell you, I was very impressed with everything they do.
Yeah.
Like, I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah, super cool.
The fact that they're in 17 different facilities.
Yeah.
They cater to men, women, and youth.
Yeah, that's really right.
Very cool.
Yeah.
And one of the things that I thought was really interesting, I had never really ever thought of it this way. We kind of hit on it before we kind of went in to talking to Patty, is the idea that 97% of the people who are incarcerated at some point are coming out.
Yeah.
Right? And so it backs up that idea that I think sometimes we think of incarceration in like completely wrong.
Yeah.
We view it like we locked him up and we threw away the key. They're bad guys. But the reality is, if 97% of them are coming out.
Yeah.
Right. That's a huge number of people that are coming out. That you ask yourself, what are they going to do?
Yeah.
Right. And we want them to become contributing members to society again, because if they do, then we are all the better for it.
Exactly.
Because they have jobs and they're tax-paying citizens and they're rehabilitated. They've gone through circumstances that maybe they can teach other people who are headed down that road,
yeah.
who won't listen to somebody who hasn't ever gone through something like that. I mean, I think that sometimes we think of it like, well, they were locked up and like that was their chance.
Yeah.
And I just think, you know, if 97% of the folks who are incarcerated are coming back out, we need to ask ourselves serious questions about what we're doing for them as they come out.
Exactly. Because if you end up in prison, like whatever circumstances got you there, it's not going to be a happy situation.
Yeah.
So then while you're incarcerated, that should be the opportunity for not only a person who's in like incarcerated
yep.
and serving time, but for the prison system and for everybody else who's involved to be like,
yeah.
this is an opportunity for this person to make themselves better
yep.
and contribute to their own lives as well as the lives
right.
of others.
Right. Very cool to see all of the different types of organizations who are nonprofits who
yeah.
are taking it upon themselves to try and do stuff like that.
Absolutely.
And it was really cool to talk to Patty about their role in trying to calm that sort of stuff, like
yeah.
calm a person and get them to have different coping mechanisms.
Really cool.
Yeah.
So we're going to hit on some of the upcoming events that we've got going on. DOC Golf Tournament.
Yeah.
Two of its benefiting charities were Fair Start and the IF Project that Heather hit on. It was at Eagles Pride Golf Course. And so it kind of is perfect for this particular podcast.
Yeah.
Coming up, we have the Froyo Eat Sweets and Give promotion.
Yeah.
That's happening from August 14th through August 18th. For those who are in Thurston County, how many locations we got there?
There's four. They're all at Limeberry, Tumwater, Lacey, Graham, and Yelm Limeberries.
Cool. And so if you go in, key here is for those who actually go in, make sure you mention the combined fund drive. You have to actually physically mention it to them. And then portions of your purchase go to the CFT. We have our ESD softball tournament on August 26th at Brennan Park in Auburn. They have seven teams registered. Secretary of State's office couldn't get our team together.
I know.
But it's crazy. She got the mayor of Auburn to throw out the first pitch.
That's pretty rad.
Yeah.
So, what is this, like the fourth year?
I think it's the fourth year, yeah.
Okay.
Each team represents a charity.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, so the first place team gets to take X percentage of all the money that's brought in and give it to their charity.
Oh,
and
that's
second place
cool.
gets to take X percentage. So you're essentially representing a charity.
That's rad.
I thought that was really cool.
Yeah.
I thought that was really cool. On August 28th through September 1st, we have the football ticket online auction. We have five Seahawks games that we're giving away. We have a pair of tickets for the Apple Cup. We're still looking for the other colleges. And this year, we're adding the football component to it. For those who are actual soccer fans, you probably consider it real football.
Yeah, there you go. Instead of handball, which is the NFL.
Right. They should really call the NFL something different.
Handball?
It's not really football.
Not really.
Yeah.
Except for the kickers.
Yeah.
And the punters.
The 1/5 of the entire game.
Yeah.
Is actually involves your feet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The rest is handball.
Yeah. So we are going to do Seattle Sounders and also the women's soccer team, the Seattle Ring.
Yeah.
Pretty cool.
Yeah.
I'm excited about that. And then Golf for Veterans happens on September 16th, supporting homes for our troops at Eagles Pride Golf Course. Also a reminder that August is Caregivers Month.
It is Caregivers Month.
All right.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
So if you know caregivers, do what you can to say, hey, you do a good job.
Thank you for your time.
Thank you for taking care of people.
Yes, that's very nice.
Yes, hello, thank
so,
you.
So that was Podcast for Good, episode number 5, Yoga Behind Bars. I am Philip Kerrigan, and our resident parkour expert / fiscal person was...
Heather Lucas.
Yes.
Always and forever.
So Heather's going to parkour out of the office.
You got it. I'm going to parkour out of here, and it's going to be amazing.
Oh, yeah. So we'll talk to you later. This is Podcast for Good.